Tonight's reading is Psalm 27, and that can be found on page 484 of the Church Bibles. So Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? When evildoers come against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. Though an army deploys against me, my heart will not be afraid. Though a war breaks out against me, I will still be confident. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be high above my enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices in his tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me. My heart says this about you. Seek his face. Lord, I will seek your face. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not leave me or abandon me, God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do not give me over to the will of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your hearts be courageous. Wait for the Lord.
Thanks very much, Zach, for reading his word. You'll find it helpful to keep open that passage in front of you as we're going through this. I'll be referring to it. My name's Alan, by the way, anybody who doesn't know me already, most of you do. And if there's anything that I say this evening that you don't quite understand or it doesn't quite fit right or whatever else, do come and have a word with me or those that you know to help you through this. Let me just pray before we start. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful things that we've been singing about this evening. We thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that in him we can know eternal life. Thank you, Father, that we've been singing about changed lives, transformed lives. And Eleanor has come to tell us about her, the way that you have changed her life. And we've been singing and we've been proclaiming these things already. So, Father, as we read your word, what a such a great privilege it is to look into this word that you have spoken. You have inspired, and we thank you that we can look into it this evening. Father, have your way with us, and may we come closer to you, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how are you feeling today? Happy or sad? Full of joy? Full of despair? How about yesterday? Did you wake up feeling the same way yesterday as you did today? How about last week? How about last year? How did last year go? All of us feel differently from day to day, don't we? Our moods change, and the world today moves so quickly from one day to another. Things happen so quickly, and our feelings can alter very easily, even without us realizing it. Here in the book of Psalms, we have a collection of poetry and verse written by normal believers in God. They describe everyday experiences. They tell of feelings commonly expressed by all of us. They're so true to life. We sometimes find the psalmist full of joy, praising God, singing praise to him and thanking him, singing and making music. But at other times we see him in the depths of despair, crying out to God for help in times of need. And because of this, I think the Psalms are a great encouragement to the Christian. They show us that it's to be expected that we won't be feeling on top of the world all the time. And it's normal for us as Christians to feel like that in this life. God's word is so true to life, so honest. The important thing is that no matter what our feelings and experiences are as Christians, God still loves us. He wants us to stay close to him, to depend on him, and to desire him. What we go through is in his sovereign purpose for us, to build us up, to build our relationship with him, the God of all creation, the God who sent his only son to die on a cross, to make it possible for us to know him. And David, who wrote this psalm, King David, he knew this same God. You remember, he was the shepherd boy chosen by God to be king. He was the one who slew the giant Goliath. He was Jesus' ancestor, a great man. In Acts, we read that God himself refers to David as a man after my own heart. Do you aspire to be like David? But hang on a minute, I hear you cry. Wasn't this the same David who committed adultery with Bathsheba, as we heard last week? Didn't he then arrange the murder of her husband? How can he be a man that we could all aspire to be like? Well, there but for the grace of God go I. David was a man, prone to sin, like all of us. We're tempted as well. We commit sin too. But David's reaction to his sin was to turn to God in confession and repentance. And there's no hiding of David's weaknesses and failures in God's word. He was just a man like us. We can identify with him, surely. So let's look together then at Psalm 27 and see what he is passing on to us. Here we find David talking about strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. We're going to see David's dependence upon God, his desire to walk closely with God, and his confidence that God will be with him forever. Firstly then, the psalmist's dependence upon God, his dependence upon God. We read in verse 1 here, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The Lord is my light and my salvation. When I was a teenager in Yorkshire, South Yorkshire, not West, I went with a group from my church up to the Yorkshire Moors, and to do this walk from the west side of the moors to the east side of the moors. That was 42 miles. Set off at 10 o'clock at night, walked through the night, and we finished the walk at 4:15 the next afternoon. Up on the moors, on top of those hills, there were no lights apart from our torches. It was pretty scary. Pitch black all round. Total darkness. We had maps, of course, but if we hadn't had our torches to shine on them, we'd have had no option but to stop and wait until morning. Stuck up on the hills above Middlesbrough. Scary. Darkness. Lack of light makes us feel lost. We can't do without light. We're so dependent upon it. But we take light for granted, don't we? We know the sun provides light during the day, and we have artificial light to light our evenings in the home. But we need light. And when it's taken away, say during a power cut, we're lost without it. We fumble around in the dark trying to avoid all the furniture. And we quickly become disorientated, don't we? And we can lose our way. David says, "The Lord is my light." As we depend upon the sun for light, as we depend upon our light bulbs for light at night to enable us to do everyday things, so David is dependent upon his God, his light, to enable him to live a life that's right before God. David needs God. He's totally dependent upon him. Otherwise, he'd go astray. Otherwise, he'd be lost. Without God, David wouldn't be able to go on. He'd be like people lost in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, not knowing which way to go. So he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life." David finds security and safety in God. We read of his enemies attacking him. We read of evil men coming against him, wanting to devour his flesh in verse 2. An army deploying against him, war breaking out against him in verse 3. But he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, the stronghold of my life." We see David's strong faith. In times where, humanly speaking, he's weak, he's strong because God's his salvation and his stronghold. So he can say, "Whom should I fear? Whom should I dread?" As king of Israel, king of God's people, there were many seeking his downfall, many enemies all around him. But David remembers the message from the prophet Nathan that we find in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where we read, "This is what the Lord of armies says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, to be ruler over my people, Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all your enemies before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me, and your throne will be established forever." God made an agreement with David and his successors. God promised to stand by them in their troubles and prosper their reigns if they reigned on his behalf. The Lord is David's light, his salvation, his stronghold. Who shall he fear? He fears no one. David, with God on his side, will have the victory every time. Even if his family desert him, he knows his God will not. David knows he's dependent upon God for his very life. In John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 4, Jesus refers to the Christian life as being like a vine and its branches. "Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to bear fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me." Isn't it easy to forget that we're dependent upon God for everything, for our very lives, for our every breath? Don't we often take our blessings in this life for granted? Don't we often try to do things using our own light, thinking that we're strong enough, thinking that we're secure, that we can't fall? We can't afford to do that. Self-confidence is misplaced. David recognized, and we must recognize too, that we're totally dependent upon God. Without him, we're lost in the dark, vulnerable. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." We need his light. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. And no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again." That's John 6:35. We need him to sustain us in every way. All you can eat of the bread of life is in Jesus. We can't live fulfilled lives without recognizing our dependence upon God. We need him. So how much do you need him? Really need him? We need air to breathe. How often do you breathe? We need God in order to live the lives he intends us to live. So how often do you come to him for breath? We read in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Do you depend on God's every word? Now there's this evening's challenge. Get to know every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I'll test you next week. Do you make every effort to listen to the preaching of God's word at church every Sunday, even twice on a Sunday? Do you spend unhurried, concentrated time reading every word that comes from the mouth of God in your own quiet times at home? How dependent are you on God? How often do you put it off and shelve it until it's more convenient? Or when you've got nothing better to do? Oscar Wilde says, I never put off until tomorrow what I can do the day after. Is it like that with you? That's what happens if we're not careful. It gets put off. Tomorrow never comes. Dependence on God can't be a part-time thing. We're either dependent on him or we're not. And sometimes we only depend on him when we're in trouble, in times of trouble. Then we come to him. So how is it with you? Let's move on. Secondly, the psalmist's desire for God. The psalmist's desire for God. Verse 4, I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing upon the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. When I was a little boy, I wanted to be a train driver. When I was in my early teens, I wanted to be a footballer. When I got a job in my mid-20s, I wanted to get married and have children. And soon after that, I wanted to retire. If someone were to ask you or to say that they could grant you one wish, what would you wish for? Be honest with yourself. I'm not going to ask you to shout it out loud. But what would you wish for if you had just one wish? Perhaps you'd wish for good health. For yourself or your family. Perhaps you'd wish for greater wealth so you could be more secure financially. Or perhaps you'd wish for better relationships with family and friends. Perhaps you'd wish for the world's climate to change for the better for all of us. All of these are, I suppose, to some extent important in today's society. What would be your greatest desire? Someone once said, we often desire most what we ought not to have. Is that true? What would you wish for? What is David's greatest desire? I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David earnestly prays to God that he may dwell in the house of the Lord. That is, so that he may be kept close to God all the days of his life. He wants to be in constant communion with God. He wants to be so close to him that he can speak to him and he can listen to him and know that God is listening to him. He wants to be able to worship him, to sing and make music to him. His greatest desire is to be so close to God that he can gaze upon his face, gazing on the beauty of the Lord. David wrote in Psalm 4 and verse 6, let the light of your face shine on us, Lord. The light of God's favor and mercy are what David desires. He yearns to be close to God. If he could ask only one thing, this is it. To know something of the beauty of his God, his holiness, his purity, his love, his mercy every day. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 1, verses 21 to 23, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I am torn between the two. I long to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Yes, Paul feels close to God in serving him in life, but he desires to be closer to his Saviour and to be with him in heaven. "This is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." What about us? Is it our greatest desire to know the closeness of God every day? Do we start off each morning praying that we may dwell in the house of the Lord every day, that we may gaze upon his beauty? Do we pray that we'll know God close to us, so close we can feel his presence and gaze upon his face? Well, how can we know this? How can we know Almighty God in this way? What does David say he has to do to enable this to happen? Verse 8. "My heart says this about you, seek his face." Lord, I will seek your face. David realizes that he has a responsibility to seek the Lord. There's no point just waiting for something to happen. You can't just sit around and hope that God will force his way into your life and have his way with you. God will draw you closer to himself, but it also requires you, it requires us, to put ourselves out to seek him. Do you depend on God so much that you desire to put yourself out to seek him, to see how beautiful, how gracious, how majestic, how glorious the Son of God is? Is that your desire? In verse 11, we read, "Because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path." David sees he needs to be shown, he needs to be taught God's way. As he goes through life, he needs to learn. He needs to learn God's way. He needs to put himself out to learn God's way. He's only human. He's still tempted by sin. He still makes mistakes, like we all do. But he wants to be taught God's way. His enemies, his adversaries, those against him, are ready to pounce on him if he takes a wrong turn. So he asks that God will make his path level, so there's less likelihood of him falling off. David writes in Psalm 25 and verses 4 to 5, "Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long." Oh, how we need God to show us his ways, how we need to get to know his revealed will for us in his word. Please see that you need to be close to him so that you can talk to him and he can teach you and lead you and guide you in his truth. How we need to spend time with him in prayer, developing that close relationship. Is this your greatest desire? Is this the greatest priority in your life? I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. This is the psalmist's greatest desire, to be close to God. So we've seen David's dependence on God, his desire to be close to God, and thirdly we see here the psalmist's confidence in God. The psalmist's confidence in God. In verse 13 we read, I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. As someone once said, security is not the absence of danger, but the presence of God, no matter what the danger. Despite his enemies besieging him, despite their attacks, even then, David says, I will still be confident, verse 3. Even if his family and friends abandon him, he knows the Lord will not. The Lord cares for me, verse 10. Even if war breaks out around him, David's confident that he'll continue to see the goodness of his God all the days of his life. And in Psalm 23, you'll remember those well-known verses, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. David's confidence and trusts in his Lord. God's true goodness and faithful love will accompany him all the days of his life. How wonderful to be secure in the thought, like the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Romans, in the thought that nothing, absolutely nothing in all creation can separate him, can separate you if you're a Christian, from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. The reference in verse 13 of in the land of the living here means the present time, this present life. So David's confident that he'll continue to see the goodness of God, of the Lord, in his life. But Matthew Henry, in his commentary, adds an interesting thought here. He writes, heaven is the land that may truly be called the land of the living. This earth is the land of the dying. The land of the living can only fully refer to heaven. You see that? The land of the living, the land where only those who know the true, the way, the truth, and the life, that is Jesus, are present with their Creator God. That is the land of the living. This life on earth is the land of the dying. Look around you. This land is the land of the dying. Those who are resting in the salvation which Jesus won on the cross and in his resurrection, they are the ones who will populate the true land of the living. Will you be there? David's confident that he'll see the goodness of God in the land of the living now and into and throughout eternity. And this confidence gives him strength. This confidence gives him hope. This confidence gives him victory over the enemies that are all around him. David's future's assured. We sang this morning, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. He's confident that he'll enjoy the goodness and love of God forever. And if we know God, if we put our trust in the sacrifice of Jesus on that cross for our sins, if we depend upon God for our light and salvation, then we also can live lives of confidence, of hope. Because we can say with David, goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Do you share his confidence? Or are there lingering doubts? I urge you to seek God's face. Get close to him. Gaze on his beauty. Learn his ways. verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. Well, this evening we've seen that David's life depends fully on the presence of God. His greatest desire is to be close, to live close to God, and that he's confident that God will be with him in this life and into eternity. Here's David. This is a man described by God himself as a man after my own heart. So how do you shape up? How much do you depend and rely upon God? Do you desire above everything to be close to God? Are you living in the confidence that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, and that one day you will see him face to face in heaven? We started off by reading, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." One day we won't depend on the sun for light. We read in Isaiah chapter 60, "The sun will no longer be your light by day, and the brightness of the moon will not shine on you. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your splendor. Your sun will no longer set, and your moon will not fade, for the Lord will be your everlasting light." We're saved to bask in the sunshine of God forever. The Lord is our light and salvation. Could there be greater strength for today? Could there be brighter hope for tomorrow? I suggest not. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that it is possible to have a relationship with you, not because of anything that we are or anything that we have done, but because of your grace, your undeserved love. Because of our Lord Jesus being willing to go to that cross and die on our behalf, take the punishment for our sins, and he rose again and is now seated on high in heaven. We thank you that we can know you. We can depend upon you. We can desire to get closer to you. We can be confident of the strength that you will give us and the hope that you've brought us into, which is certain and true, of one day seeing you face to face and gazing upon your beauty. Father, may we take these things to heart. May we think about these things. May we desire to come closer to you. Give us that desire in our hearts, Lord, that we might come closer to you. So Father, bless us each one individually. We're all different, at a different stage. Speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.